meekness required to accept that we don't have everything answered and we don't have all aspects of our own lives figured out. And yet thou as an all-knowing God, as an omniscient God, thou dost see and know all things. We apply to this wisdom this morning, and we pray these things in Jesus' blessed name. Amen. I'd like to encourage you to follow with me in the book of Isaiah this morning, chapter number 55, beginning with verse number 1. And with the Lord's help, we can read the whole chapter. Isaiah 55, verse number 1. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear, and come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and commander to the people. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God, and for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. For ye shall go out with joy, and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. And it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall be not be cut off. I read to the end of the chapter. The Lord is... This morning, the Lord had set on my heart a burden for our young men and women who are here this weekend. And while the Word of God applies to all of us, it's on my heart to address the young men and women that have gathered here today. And whether you are in the Lord this morning or you're not, you're on my heart this morning. And this is the conclusion of my message for you this morning. The richest part, or one of the richest parts of the heritage that you are part of, or you seek to be a part of, today in this church is the peers that you do not know and never will. And we'll arrive there to that conclusion with the Lord's help. But to begin with, we're familiar with a passage in 1 Corinthians 13 in addressing youth. In 1 Corinthians 13, in the end of the chapter, verse 11, the Apostle Paul says, "When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things." And so for many of you, or for some of you, you're still in that transition time where Sunday school is now over and you're now sitting in church services and you're hearing the Word of God preached to you. And perhaps there are some words that you might struggle to understand, or maybe you know them well, but you're starting to pay more attention to deeper spiritual things. And the Apostle Paul is commenting on that transition there where there's this putting away that needs to happen. And we need to start considering more adult concepts. And we need to start considering the Word of God in more depth. And as you consider the Word of God in more depth, and you begin to take the instructions from the Word of God more personally, there's an effect that you may have noticed by now. Something happens. You start to realize there are some things that the Word of God directs straight to me. And now you, as you sit and you listen, whether it be in a service on Sunday or in reading the Word of God at home for yourself, as you start to sit and listen, as you had in the past, you start to realize that there's this interaction going on between myself and God. Mom's not here. Dad's not here. My brothers and sisters are not here. It's me alone with God. And God is starting to lay on my heart these convictions, this leading. He's starting to make me feel like I need something or I want something. Isaiah 55 says, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. He that hath no money, come buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price." That moving of your heart, that conviction is this beginning of this thirst, this desire for something righteous and godly. For some of the youth here, you've walked this way for some time now. You've realized that you are convicted by the Word of God. And you've realized what this thirst is. This longing in your heart to make things right with God. He says here, "Come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without price." God is telling you, there's something that He has to offer you that will satisfy this growing longing and this growing desire in your heart that you realize. This personal work of God in your life, God has something to satisfy it with. Buy wine and milk without money and without price. This is the beginning of the call of God for your heart. Some who are perhaps a little bit older than that early age of God working personally in your heart, some who have walked this way for some time, you've known what it's like to look for, to search for That satisfying truth of God, that satisfying work of God where he changes you in your heart. You know, in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 1, another familiar verse with regards to the youth. In Ecclesiastes 12, 1, it says, "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Remember your Creator in the days of thy youth." Remember your Creator. Now, not just remember that you learned in Sunday school that God created the heavens and the earth, but now remember your Creator. Now you, as a young man and a young woman, this is the instruction from God. If you're wondering about how to start responding to this call of God, it says here, remember your Creator. So what does that require? Well, one, we must know who the Creator is. And so, again, not just memorize what you learned in Sunday school, but for you, understand and believe, God created you. He is your Creator. And what does the term Creator carry along with it? It's that God had forethought about you. That he had, as David had said, that while he was still in the womb, God knew him. He was fearfully and wonderfully made. That means every individual here, as young or as old as you are, God had personal, direct thoughts about you and knew your name. He was full of godly intentions for you and the rest of your life from before you were born. He had you on his mind. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth. Also, along with the term Creator comes this meaning as well, that he had intent and expectation for your life. He created you with purpose. And so in your youth, consider these things, that God has created you. God, the perfect God, created you. Remember thy Creator in the days of thy youth. It's many Bible scholars will agree that Ecclesiastes was likely written after the book of Proverbs. And so we can see this final chapter of Ecclesiastes as, in a sense, a final message from Solomon, at least in this format, to his sons. And he begins the chapter by saying, "Remember in thy youth." But he continues the chapter by saying, explaining some of the alternative. And if you look at his description, we don't have time to look through here. If you look at his description of the rest of life and what it's like, it is a description of suffering. And to different degrees, we suffer because this body is under the curse of sin, and this body is corruptible. It fails. Our bodies fail. Our minds fail. Our memories fail. And eventually, this body dies. And the long process of that happening, it takes a toll on us and our life. And these different tolls often can be even a distraction from life. "While the sun or the light or the moon or the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after rain, every light is darkened, and every light is darkened in the eyes of those whose eyes grow dim in life. The grinder ceases to be heard. The windows are darkened. The doors are shut in the streets." In a physical sense, life closes in on you and eventually covers you in darkness, in a physical sense. "Remember the Lord in the days of thy youth." You're young. God has given you energy, lightness of the eye, lightness of the body, quick recoveries, the ability to really apply yourself and to grow many ways. There's a tree that was planted in my parents' yard that was nearly 4 feet tall when we moved into the house in 2002. Now that tree is well over 30 feet tall throughout these years. There's life in it. It's growing. But you know, trees even eventually stop growing. They fall and they die. It's the hard reality of life. But the encouragement here from Solomon, this wise man, is to remember the Lord in thy youth when you are have the energy to grow. And if we look at the book of Psalms chapter 1, Psalms chapter 1, the beginning of the chapter says this: Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law doth in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Delight yourself in the law of the Lord, and in his law meditate day and night. Do this, again, in response to this call of God, do this, and you will be like a tree planted by rivers of water. That growth that God is intending for your life. It says here in Psalm chapter 1, that it must be centered around delighting in the law of God, meditating on it day and night. So as a young man and as a young woman, the question that it implied by reading 1 Corinthians 13:11 is, how do I put away childish things? How do I put away childish things and begin thinking as a man? If you continue on in 1 Corinthians to chapter 14, we can read that, chapter 14, verse 20. It helps further define this for us and what the expectation is there. First Corinthians chapter 14, verse 20 says, Brethren, be not children in understanding, howbeit in malice be ye children, but in understanding be men. In understanding be men. So what does it mean? What does it mean to put away childish things, especially in the context of the call of God? It means in understanding be men. See, my young friends, young men and young women, when God is calling you, he is calling you to an adult understanding. He is calling you to an adult understanding of the gospel of God. If you are young enough to have experience, if you are old enough now to have experienced what it is like to have that personal call of God to you from his word, he's calling you to something. He's calling you to put away childish things, but he's calling you to, in understanding, understand like men. Now, are you intimidated by that? If you are 12, 13, 14 years old, does it sound like a daunting thing to now have God expect you to understand his gospel like men? It can be. It can be an intimidating thing. And it's intimidating at times, I believe, because we don't know the path to get there. Psalm chapter 1 here, verse 2, speaks about that growth. As the tree that was planted when it was only 4 feet tall or so, it had to grow from there. You must commit yourself to the Word of God. You must commit yourself, young man and young woman, you must commit yourself to the Word of God to the extent that you find delight in it. Not only delight here when you're gathered together with the friends and the companions that you enjoy sharing experiences with, but no, loved ones, young man, young woman, you must in your personal devotions, when you are alone in your closet, so to speak, with the Word of God, study it delight in it. That is growth. You will be, this is the promise of God, you will be, you shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth fruit, his fruit in his season. Let's speak about this in his season. There is a season for things, and we can read more of that, more description of that in Ecclesiastes. But for you, young man and young woman, there is a season for the time where you will bear fruit, where you will bring forth fruit. Apply yourself to the study and the delight in the Word of God, and in its season, you will bring fruit. Maturity does not happen overnight. Growth does not happen overnight. And while it seems that many things happen quickly when we revisit them time to time, on a daily basis, as you read through the Word of God, God will work with you and bring forth fruit in its season. If we go back to Isaiah 55 here, verse 3 says, "Incline your ear and come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David." Incline your ear and come unto me. So to incline your ear is to listen, intently listen to what somebody has to say. So God says to you, incline your ear to me. Come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live. Come unto me, God says. So we call that seeking after him, looking for him, coming to him, and your soul shall live. Let's talk about initiative. In the lives of most of the young men and women that are here, for a great majority of your life, your parents have taken care of you. And they've done the things that are necessary to care for you and to meet your needs, and rightfully so. And, of course, there are differences in parenting styles, but the responsibility of a mother and a father is to provide for you. And they've given you a place to live. They've clothed you. They've fed you. They've brought you through whatever forms of teaching and instruction and schooling for your sakes. They've guided you in relationships and where you've gone. They've taken responsibility to bring you to the church. And that varies across families and histories, but you're here today. Your parents have been largely responsible for the decisions that you make. But, you know, picture yourself, young man and young woman, picture yourself 10, 20, and 30 years down the road. Who will be responsible for you? Who will be making these decisions for you? Well, it is a godly ambition for you to be responsible for your own decisions in these coming decades of your life. And it's a godly expectation for that to happen. But at some point, that transition happens from you providing your own food for yourself when your parents used to. That transition happens when you may find your own place to live, when you used to live with your parents. Where now it is upon you to earn the money for your living when your parents used to do that. What happens when that transition, what makes that transition happen? What makes that transition happen? Well, you know, it varies. Some parents, some families will set a hard and fast rule. When you're 18, out of the house. You're on your own. Some families will have a plan to support a child through a career in education and with the hopes of them developing financial stability, and then they move on to some form of independence, and the transition happens that way. Some children, fully of their own accord, they will go out and develop a life and a career, and the parents simply support them in prayer and counsel and advice. That transition happens in different ways. But one way or another, independence is found. Whether you're pushed into it or whether you pursue it. Here, in Isaiah 55, there is a specific way that this transition happens. There's one way that this happens, this transition. And so here in 1 Corinthians 13, putting away childish things, there's a transition from being a child to now pursuing adult things. Spiritually, in Isaiah 55 as well, the same thing happens. God says, come. You come. Your parents won't take you there. The church won't pull you there. You come. Verse 3, incline your ear, come hear, and your soul shall live. At some point in your life, my young friend, you need now to take the initiative. Now it's your turn. You decide to come. You decide to hear. At some point, in the same way that the responsibility for your finances, your food, your provisions, the responsibilities in life, at some point those fall on your hands, spiritually, at some point the decision to move forward and come after God falls on your hands. You take the initiative. No one can take that step for you. As you move forward, if you're counseling with a minister or an elder in your church, they will not take a step for you either. Everything that you do to come to God, to listen to Him, to follow Him, is in your hands. Every decision, it's initiative. God encourages us. Oh, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And so it's not a decision that you make on your own to now take upon yourself the salvation of your soul. But no, God is calling you to Him. Come to the waters. Come buy of me wine and milk without money and without price. Come to me, because now I will walk with you. Now I will transact with you. Now, if you comment, you bring your heart, your soul to me. I have something to offer you that is without price. In Luke chapter 18, if we read in verse 15, it says that they brought unto him also infants, and that he would touch them. But when his disciples saw it, they rebuked them. But Jesus called unto him, and said, suffer little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall in no wise enter therein. This is a description of how to receive the kingdom of God. Now, it says, little children, come to me. Suffer little children to come to me, for of such is the kingdom of God. It is not our belief that, it is not our faith that it is, that we need to become childish in coming to God, that somehow we need to behave like children, if we're in a childish way, But Christ makes the point, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall in no wise enter therein. A child, in the way that they receive things, is the example here. A child in the way that they receive. You, as a young man and young woman, your memories of being a child are fresher than mine. And myself in particular, I struggle with memory at times. But for you can remember better than I can what it was like to be a child, what it was like to be instructed as a child, to receive instruction as a child. Mom and dad, for most children, mom and dad were this incredible source of information, incredible source of instruction. And we made ourselves vulnerable to them. We opened ourselves up to instruction from them on the premise that they know what they're saying, that they have their best interest in mind, that my good is on their heart, my good is behind their intent. And while not every parent, not any parent, is perfect in their approach and their handling of children, we can see a God-created love and intent on the part of fathers and mothers for their children to bring them up. And those who were blessed to have children, who were blessed to have parents who were believers and Christians and children of God, then all the more the blessing was there for the sake of the children. Receive instruction this way. To receive the kingdom of God as a little child was what Christ's instruction was. So there's an aspect of your childhood that you can remember, draw on, follow. Christ said to receive his kingdom as a little child. If we continue in Luke chapter 18, Christ had explained further about entering the kingdom of God. And Peter says in verse 28, "Lo, we have left all and followed thee. And he said unto them, Verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house, or parents, or brethren, or wife, or children, for the kingdom of God's sake, who shall not receive manifold more in this present time, and in the world to come, everlasting life." Let's talk about adult things. What is God calling you to? He's calling you to an everlasting kingdom. And yes, my young friend and young brother and young sister as well, God has called you to an everlasting kingdom. So moving from childish thinking to adult thinking, putting away childish things, and now thinking as a man, as it says in 1 Corinthians 14:20, an everlasting kingdom. Peter said, "We have left all and followed thee." And Christ is saying, yes, leaving all means leaving all. That may mean you lose your friend. That may mean you lose your mother, your father, wife, children. You could lose every relationship that's dear to you for the kingdom's sake, is what Christ says here. For the kingdom's sake. So not only does the Word of God need to be precious to you as you read it, as you study, in your own personal devotions, not only does it need to be dear to you, but Christ and God, His kingdom, needs to be all to you, dear to you, precious to you, more than your own life. The peers that you don't have. Are a rich part of our heritage. You see, those of you brothers and sisters who are in your late teens, you've got brothers and sisters that you never knew. In our church's history, there were brothers and sisters who were taken in their late teens, early 20s, taken to answer for their faith. And their lives were taken. They were killed for their faith. They were martyred for their faith. Young men who never got to get married. Young women who never knew what it was like to have children. Young men and women whose descendants never existed because they chose the kingdom. Young men and women whose great-grandchildren don't sit next to you because they gave up the rest of their life for their faith. Young man and woman, if you are called by God, understand like men the depth of the commitment to the kingdom of God that he calls you to today. If you feel like you're not there yet, you don't fully grasp the depth of what God has called you to today, commit yourself to the Word of God. Delight in it. He will bring you there. You will grow, as he says, you shall grow. You shall be like a tree planted by rivers of living water. For the brothers and sisters who understand this, the depth, the gravity of sincere faith in God, our commitment to him, encourage it, foster it. Pay attention to these bright young men and women in your churches, whether here or elsewhere. They have the energy, the zeal to remember their Creator in their youth. Walk alongside them, guide them, encourage them, give them the faith to stay, the faith and the encouragement to stay on this path. Life grows dim, you know it. You've experienced it. But the joy of the Lord grows brighter in your life. Make that known to them. Give attention to the young men and the young women of our church. Much can be said, more must be said, about these truths, but I pray that the Lord would add a blessing to his word.